Good morning. Come on now. All right. How's everybody doing? I've not sung. I've decided to follow Jesus for a little while. I enjoyed that. You know what country that song was written in? India. Uniting with Christians in India that want to follow Jesus when we sing that song. Isn't that cool? Really cool. As I just had the sense. I was like, wow, we're doing the old Desert's End hymn sing and connecting with Christians long time ago, connecting with truths that were written, hearts that were moved by the Spirit, may no longer be alive, in other places, in other countries. And the truth of God, the truth of Scripture, just no matter what the culture is, they resonate. And I enjoyed the traditional feel. And let's pray. Ask God to bless us. Lord, we come here this morning because we want you. Because we want to follow you. Because we want to be where you are. God, and we may be wandering, or we may be on a highway, but they all lead to the place. They all lead to church. They all lead to your people. They all lead to rooms, God, in different eras, in different countries, where your people are. And you love it, Lord Jesus, when your people are together. Thank you to be in a place that brings a smile to your face. And thank you for the chance to be here together. And Father, would you teach us? Lord Jesus, you came and you were called a teacher. You were called a great teacher. God, I'm not a great teacher. But you teach us. You teach us every day. You disciple us. You speak to us. You help us. You show us the next right move. God, many of us know it now, and we've yet to walk into it. But thank you. Thank you for being with us, to be with us now. Thank you for loving us individually this morning. Thank you for loving us together as one, as your bride. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here's our topic this morning. I want to talk about the kingdom of God. Jesus has brought a kingdom. Jesus has brought a kingdom. Jesus has brought a kingdom. Now, when Jesus started preaching, and he started going, and he's coming out of the desert, and he goes, "Now I'm ready to share my message." You know what he said? He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is here. Jesus preached about the kingdom. And as he walked around and he preached and people listened to him, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a tree. The kingdom of heaven is like..." It is the kingdom of heaven, and that is so much of what Jesus is teaching. I remember the first time I walked through, I took a concordance before there was Bible Gateway, and I looked up every place where the word kingdom was used. And it was so many. And I thought, I have been missing it, because I go right by the word. Like when it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I just translate it, seek God. And I wouldn't even see it anymore. But the kingdom of God is kind of, it's complex in a lot of ways, but you can just think of it in its kind of base form as the rule of God. God ruling. And so when Jesus said the kingdom of God was here, he meant that God was actually there. That God was being active on behalf of his people. Jesus was saying all the Old Testament promises were being fulfilled, and we won't go into those. But salvation was now, because the kingdom of God was now. God was visiting his people. Now, I want to walk through four things we learn about the kingdom from the New Testament just as a topical teaching here. Now, there are a lot of things we can learn, and it ends up sort of being the ways the New Testament is kind of different than the Old Testament, because the kingdom of God wasn't here in the same way in the Old Testament, but it's here now. So what did Jesus do, or what did he communicate from about God that we get to grab in the New Testament? That we get to walk into as sort of like walking into the kingdom of God. And there's four things. And the first one is God is seeking. And we've actually talked about this for the last couple weeks. But the kingdom of God, in one sense, is just a relationship with the Father. And Jesus came to show us that. He had a relationship with his Father that was deep, and it was close, it was intimate, but it was also God ruling. Because Jesus didn't do anything unless the Father did it. Jesus didn't say anything unless the Father was saying it. And so the Father was winning. The Father was ruling right there. Okay. And so Jesus spreads that. And the kingdom grows and extends into the world. Now I want you to see how different this is. Because the Jews of the day didn't see God as seeking. They didn't see God as seeking. If you wanted to find God, the first thing you had to do is you had to come to God and you repented. You came, you renounced your sins. But Jesus came and said, no. God is the one who's seeking. God is the one who is seeking in love. Here's a verse. And it happened that he was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them. And they were following him. Jesus had to bring good news to sinners. See, Jesus didn't deny that they were sinners, but see, the Pharisees said, I need to separate myself from the sinners because I need to be holy. Kind of an Old Testament thing. I'm not going to sit with those people. I'm not going to sit in the seat of mockers. I'm going to be holy. Jesus didn't do that. He ministered to their need. So Jesus brought the concern for sinners. It wasn't there before. Not in the same way. Jesus brought the concern. The story of the prodigal son. The places where God is seeking lost sheep. That's new. In the Old Testament, a sinner had to repent. But in the New Testament, God is seeking. See, part of the good news of the kingdom of God is that God has taken the initiative. He has started. He is going to seek and save which is lost. So God is seeking. That's the first good news of the kingdom. The second one, is that there is a God who invites. So, if you want to join me, turn to Matthew 22. If not, I can read it to you. Jesus is going to tell a parable. He says this. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, verse 1, now verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepares a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. You can stop there. We're going to jump down to verse 14. For many are invited, but few are chosen. See, Jesus is saying there, there's an invitation from God. God is not only seeking, he's inviting. You know, when Luke tells this story in Luke 14, he adds something that I think is interesting. The people he invited say, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. And another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another, I just got married, so I can't come. And turn, since you're there in Matthew, turn to Matthew 8. Verse 11. This one verse here. So the centurion has faith. And then verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those who followed him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying, come. Jesus is inviting. Jesus is saying, this guy has come. It's this open invitation. Come. Inviting them to a banquet. And I wonder if that's why part of the reason Jesus ate with people. Because that's part of what he's doing, is inviting them to a banquet. And the Jews, you know, when you eat with someone, in that culture, that was sort of an intimate thing. That was sort of a big deal. They made a big deal. Jesus is eating with people. He's eating with sinners. They called him a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But Jesus' mission was to invite sinners to a banquet. See, in the Old Testament, to the Pharisees, repentance was very important. So what that meant is breaking off of evil. And so what you would do is you would take the sin in your life and you would break off that sin, and then God would come. And then God could come and invite and then he would act. Then he would forgive. the human action preceded the divine action. But when Jesus calls us to repentance, what's repentance to Jesus? Repentance to Jesus is answering the invitation. The invitation has come first. The divine action has come first. The gift wanting to be given has come first. And then there's a response. There's a response. And that response to the invitation is repentance to Jesus. So John the Baptist said, repent or judgment is coming. But Jesus invited. Let me show you. Well, that was the second half of that verse. Okay, he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. Okay. It's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who were sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. That's kind of new. All right, here's a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Okay. Did you catch that? The kingdom of God is of value. Come get it. That's what Jesus is teaching. The kingdom of God is awesome. Come get it. Come get it. See, repentance was receiving this gift and laying aside all the excuses. Repentance was selling all you had to get it. Come get it. Inherent in that is that God is working now. You can get it now. And he said, but unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So turn, unless you repent. Repent and become like a child. He doesn't say repent necessarily and there's judgment. He says repent, be like a child, a dependent child, a helpless child, a child that says, I will let you work. I will accept a gift. I will accept an invitation. Because God wants to give these kids, kids like this, something they couldn't get if they worked for it. So Jesus came. He announced the kingdom of God. He announced something of value. He announced that God is working in history. He is seeking sinners, and then he's inviting sinners into blessing. And then he demands a favorable response to that gracious offer. So Jesus isn't just a prophet saying, hey, there's promises, and they're coming in the future, and I'm sort of the messenger. He's saying, hey, there's these promises, and I'm telling you about them, and I am also bringing the promises. They come with me because the kingdom of God is here. Okay, so God, the kingdom of God involves a seeking God, an inviting God, and a fatherly God. A fatherly God. There is a relationship between the kingdom of God and the fatherhood of God. Check these verses out. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He was here. Okay. Matthew 25. There it is. Okay. We'll start here. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. You know, the word Father and the word kingdom, they kind of go together. You know, when Jesus taught people to pray, he said, our Father, and then it's thy kingdom come. Those concepts are intertwined. And God's fatherhood is for those in the kingdom. Luke 12, and do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. It seems like the fatherhood of God is for those that have made the kingdom of God their highest joy. Those that have made the kingdom of God what they love the most. And if you know God as Father, if you know Him as Father, that's the best thing. That is your joy. You love him more than anything in the world if you know him as your Father. The fatherhood of God is for those who have responded to his divine seeking and have submitted their lives to that King, the King that is their Father in the kingdom of God. See, God's the Father of everybody kind of because he made everybody. That's not really what he's saying here. He's not saying, I am your Father. He's saying, come let me be your Father. He wants to become people's Father. Because to walk into the kingdom means you walk into a relationship with your Father. A fatherly relationship. And that will be perfect when the kingdom comes. So when the kingdom comes, you'll walk into a relationship with the Father perfectly, but you can walk into it now. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is now. That relationship of deep satisfaction is now. You know what I like about Luke 15? We've mentioned it a lot here recently. But you know where the sheep belongs? In the fold. Belongs in the flock. Jesus goes, seeks the sheep, brings them back to the flock. Where does the money belong? It belongs in possession of the woman who's searching frantically for it. Where does the son belong in the prodigal son story? The son belongs with his father. So even when he's a long way off, he comes to his senses. And where does he go? He goes where he belongs. I don't know if that hits you. Where do I belong? Where do you belong? You belong in relationship to the Father. That's where you'll have the most sense that I'm where I'm supposed to be. This is good. That's where you belong. You know, and if you're seeking the kingdom of God, that's what you're seeking. You're seeking that relationship. If you're seeking the kingdom of God, you're seeking where you belong. If you're seeking the kingdom of God, you're seeking home. You know, this is different than the Old Testament. Can you catch that? In the Old Testament, God was a father, but he always said, I'm a father of a nation. It wasn't until Jesus came that Jesus said that God was a father of an individual. Where he explicitly said, pray and say, "Our Father." Nobody prayed like that. And that comes with the kingdom of God. All right, number three. Number four. Flying. A judging God. God is seeking and inviting, and He loves, but it's a holy love. And His name must be hallowed, or there is divine retribution. You must respond to that love. It's kind of like inheriting the kingdom or inheriting everlasting fire. You know, in parable Jesus told in Matthew 25, sheep and the goats, then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom." His Father and kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then in the same parable, then he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." The fact that God is seeking does not nullify his righteousness or justice. The kingdom of God means salvation and judgment, because the kingdom of God has come. So it means both things. You know, when the disciples weren't welcomed in a city, they were supposed to like shake the dust off their feet, and that's kind of weird to us. But it's sort of an act, a parable of judgment. Shake the dust off your feet in judgment. Jesus pronounced judgment on Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum as towns. Here's one. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." This is Jesus talking. "And you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.' You can inherit the kingdom of your Father, or your house will be left to you desolate." That's the contrast all the time. "When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it." This is Luke. "Saying, 'If you had known in this day, even to you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." This is really interesting. They did not come, and their judgment was not in heaven. It would come and leave one stone, not leave one stone on another. There's judgment in the kingly rule. Lastly, I just wanted to make a note. The kingdom of God is supernatural. It's supernatural. It's a miracle. You got this whole place. This whole place, and just naturally, just walking along in our flesh, and it's the realm of Satan, and he rules it all. Right? And it's the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. And here it is, this great dark quadrant of the world. And something different, something alien, something pure and righteous comes right down inside. And it is the rule of God. It is God ruling. So you've got this whole thing that's ruled by Satan, but then inside of the thing ruled by Satan, there's a place where God is ruling. There's this little place where God is ruling, and that grows. I love this parable. And he was saying, Jesus is talking, the kingdom of God is like, See, he's always like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. See, sowing and reaping are both the work of God in the kingdom. And so man can have a part where man sows. We can sow the seed. The message of the kingdom of God. But it bears fruit by itself. He kind of makes a point. Hey, he just goes to bed and it kind of happens. He doesn't really know how it happens. He doesn't really know what's happening. Because the power's in the seed. Man didn't put it there. He can't do anything. The kingdom is God's doing. It's God's deed. And I love it. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain. Because the kingdom of God is growing and growing and growing in the world. And the fruit is going to be a kingdom, an apocalyptic kingdom. When Jesus comes back, the kingdom at the end. But the kingdom is here now. As a seed. As a growing organism. And it's not like what is around it. God's ruling in enemy territory. It's going to grow and take over that territory. And it is a supernatural, wonderful thing that there is a seed here and that the kingdom of God has come. There used to be no understanding of a God who was seeking. But now there's a God that's seeking. There used to be no understanding of a God that was inviting to blessing and sitting down with sinners, but now there's concern for sinners in the world. There used to be no relationship with God as God as a Father. In a relationship that Jesus modeled with himself and the Father and that we can walk into. But it's here. It's in the world right now. Jesus is saying, come and get it. Come and get that relationship. Comes with responsibility. It comes with judgment. And it is something that is supernatural. We are walking to something that is not just natural. Church is not just in the natural realm. Your relationship with God is not a natural realm of something that has always been. The kingdom of God is something that is happening that we kind of get to touch, but we kind of don't understand. Kind of a mystery. And I love that it's a mystery. Because it can put us in awe of something that is God, that it's just God's deed, that it's something that God is doing. And I want to just kind of present the kingdom of God. God has brought the kingdom to us, and there's kind of a response we sort of have to the kingdom and a response we want to have together as a church, and that is where we're going to go next week. But I'm so thankful. I live in a time of history where the kingdom of God is in the world. Because it is mysterious and it is relationship and it is something that we can go get. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your kingdom, and we just confess we know so little, and you tried to teach so many things, and it's there's these big concepts. I think that's why you spoke in parables. Kind of hard to communicate to us. But you by your Spirit can help us get it and can help us understand and help us see you in the world. And you are building a kingdom. You have brought a kingdom. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for us, Lord? I ask that you would teach us. That you would teach us. It never says that a man builds your kingdom. God, you build it. It grows, and we don't even know how. But we praise you that it grows in this world, in this place. We praise you, Father, and thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's do some announcements.